Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Boogs. Join with me, as always, my co-host and March Madness aficionado, Tone.
Hello.
Welcome back, Tone. And we got a special welcome back to our moderator, AJ.
Buenas noches, amigos.
If you don't know what he's referring to, he had just came back from Mexico.
Yes.
It's good to be back, boys.
Yeah, so
good to have you back, brother.
As a regular listener may know, he was not here last week. Happy to have him back. We got to get ourselves under control. And me and Tone, we just get to talking and just forget what we're talking about. And that's why he's here, especially what I just did now.
Yeah, I feel like a lot's changed since I've been gone. Nate's got a new intro sound for his intro, which is very nice. Like Lil Bow Wow, Tone dropped the father. It's just Tone.
Yes.
I like that. I left the 20s. I'm in the 30s club now. So I feel like we're more of an adult show now that I'm back.
Yeah, we came back. We're well oiled.
A little bit more grown and ready to go. So,
with no shortings of debauchery.
No, not at all.
So we are into the Final Four. There's only four teams left at this point in the college basketball tournament. Also four teams for the women's, but we are only going to discuss the males' Final Four this week. So, what is the first game on tap there, AJ?
Yeah, so what we'll do, we can do spreads and over-unders later on in the show. I just kind of want to get your guys' outright picks. Let's see who you guys got winning these games, and maybe we'll do a national title predictor. The first game we got, it's the number 2 seed Houston taking on the number 1 seed Baylor.
Okay, so I think everything's going to play out at this point the way it should. So with that being said, I like the number 1 seed Baylor. I like how aggressive they are. I like Vital, their down low guy. They have a lot of scoring all over the parts of the court, and I think Baylor gets it done. I like Houston, though. They have been a solid basketball team. I had watched them in their conference championship game against Cincinnati, and they just steamrolled, and they've just been playing that momentum all the way through the tournament. So I don't think it's a ass-beating, but I do think Baylor sneaks it out.
I agree with you. I think it's all going to play out. It's interesting to see how the first round or two, you know, unfolded, because there's a ton of upsets. Although UCLA, the 11 seed, did make it to the Final Four, we can see it's two number 1 seeds, a number 2 seed, and then UCLA. So it's been good so far. I think everything's going to kind of correct itself. I think Houston's a tough squad. They have a really nice defense. They know how to, you know, control the game. I think Baylor's just meant to win this game. I think they're meant to go on and play Gonzaga. So I'm going to go ahead and take Baylor to advance to the championship.
All right. So it's a lock for Baylor. And obviously the next game, as you mentioned, is UCLA, the 11th seed, versus number 1 seed Gonzaga. Are we all going Gonzaga around the table? What do you guys think?
I can't not. I do hope UCLA wins, honestly, just because I think it'd be cool to see them win it all. Yeah, at this point, you know, fuck it. So there it is. I think at this point they might as well go ahead and win, but I think Gonzaga is going to ultimately win. And they haven't lost yet, and like I said before, they have to prove to me that they can lose.
All right, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and agree. It's hard not to when you see a team that we're going to talk about down the line that's 13.5-point favorites. So for me to say they're not going to win is a bit of a stretch, but we do have a Cinderella in the Final Four, UCLA. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they had to play in the play-in game. They played against Michigan State. They won that, and they've rolled through no slouches other than I think they played Abilene Christian that mm-hmm. 1 week.
Right.
But other than that, they've proven not to be 13.5 dogs. So I'm gonna in all take Gonzaga to win the game, but we'll talk about the spreads.
Okay. So April 5th is the national title game. It's Tuesday, so we record on Wednesday, so we won't really get to cover that. So I figure you guys both predict Baylor versus Gonzaga. That's pretty unanimous. Let's just go around, and who do you guys have winning the national title?
I think it's going to be hard for me not to roll with the team that hasn't lost yet. So, again, until they lose and prove to me that they're willing to lose, I'm going to not go against them. So I will take Gonzaga.
Yeah, I watched Gonzaga play against USC. That would have been last night as of our recording date. I just saw an NBA-type basketball team. Like, they look like they can compete with the Detroit Pistons. I know that's a bit of a stretch, but, I mean, Mark Few has these guys so coached up. They're so stacked. They got maybe the best player in the country in Suggs. Then you got Mustache out there. He was a stud. I mean, he had 13 points in the first 4 minutes of that game. And they made that Mobley kid just nobody. So this Gonzaga team is nasty. But with that being said, I think I feel like all the money's going towards Gonzaga in that game. So I'm going to disagree with my co-host Tone. And I think Baylor is your new national champions.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
I dig it, for sure.
Yeah, so last week, obviously, I was on vacation, and I actually didn't open the Action app one single time. I didn't get on Bovada one single time. I went sober from gambling for a whole entire week, and I didn't really get to see any of the games while I was down there. Not till I came home Saturday and saw what a disaster that this March Madness has been. So I figure we'll get into spreads, but I wanted to... I brought this with me real quick. I don't know if you guys can see this, but it's my OG picks for this year, and I just wanted to make sure that the
I love the ASMR sound.
Yeah, ASMR. Picks that up because
our listeners. Oh wait, then
it was a rough March Madness for your boy.
Can we get one more of those just for our listeners?
Oh yeah, here you go. A lot of incorrect picks from your guy, the moderator. So. Kind of sucked coming home to see how incorrect I was, but we're going to go over the spreads, and you guys can get us back on track, let the listeners know who to take for these upcoming games. Saturday, 5:30, we got number 2 seed Houston, they are +5, taking on the 1 seed Baylor, and the over-under is 135.
I think I'm going to go ahead, and I think this is going to be a good matchup. I'm not sure about the, like, you know, the spread as far as the points go. I'm going to go ahead and take the under. So I'll take under 135. I know Baylor has a ton of offense. I think Houston just has a tough defense. The game itself, I'm not sure how fastly paced it's going to go, and I think that's going to be more controlled. A ton of people are going to be coming in on that over, so I'm going to take under 135.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree with you on the pick on that, but I do think the money is going to pour in heavy on the over, especially at a 135 total. But I'm not going to touch it because I feel like that's a little too fishy for me to cast my line out on. But I do think Baylor wins, but it's such a close ball game. I think they only win by maybe 3 points. And if they're up by 3 and it gets down to like 2 seconds and there's a foul, I'll take that. I'll take the Walsh all day. I'm going to take Houston, contrary to my national championship pick, +5. Getting ballsy out here.
All right. That's cool. So since 1985, 5 double-digit seeds have made the Final Four. The 11 seed LSU in 1986, 11 seed George Mason in 2006, 11 seed VCU in 2011, 10 seed Syracuse in 2016, and lastly the 11 seed Loyola in 2018. Those 5 teams are 0-5 in the Final Four, but as you guys know, we have the 11 seed UCLA. They are +14. Taking on the 1 seed Gonzaga. Over under for this game is 145.
Holy cow. They went up to 14, so I mean they are all over Gonzaga. UCLA, you shouldn't even show up on the court that day. But I remember that George Washington team back in the, or George Mason team back in the day. I'm pretty sure they lost to a UConn team that had Emeka Okafor. And then who else was on? I think it missed Richard Hamilton, but I mean that team was loaded. Charlie Villanueva was on that team. You had some studs back then, and the Loyola team in 2018. I'm not gonna pierce my nipples on this, but I did have them in my Final Four that year. I have a picture and everything. But as my nipples are pierced, I am going to take 14 points, Tone. I'm sorry, what do you think? I'm still thinking.
I know, it's tough. It's really tough to, you know, go against either one of these teams because they've been impressive on, you know, both sides of their respective brackets. So, for me, it's tough. Again, I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to go under 145 again. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't know how close it's going to be. I think it might end up scoring out to be, you know, maybe like a 75-60 type game. It'll be close, but Who knows? I'm going to go ahead and take the under. I might bite my words on that, but I'm going to go ahead and watch. I want to stay away from these larger point spreads and see what happens, because there could be a lot of backdoor opportunities, or who knows if Gonzaga's up and the scrubs come in, or who knows, UCLA just comes out and is tough like they've been the entire tournament. So I don't want to mess with the point spread at all. I'll go ahead and take the under again.
All right, so I'm going to disagree a little bit on there, because this whole tournament, Gonzaga has averaged about 85 to 87 points throughout the whole time. And when I look at that number, that's only given UCLA about 60 points to score. And so I don't think they're going to blow them out by 30, but I do think Gonzaga reaches that. I'm going to go against my co-host. I'm going to take the over in this game. I don't want to touch the 14 points, but I think this. But then again, I might be a simple-minded sports bettor on this for entertainment purposes only, because that 145 is telling me, hey, you want to take that over, especially with a team that's got as hot of an offense as Gonzaga does. So I'm going up against you. This little rivalry.
You love to see it. I like it. Let's do it.
So this matchup kind of made me think to myself when we were getting ready for the show today. As sports fans, do you two prefer to see the two best outright teams face off in the title to fight it out for the championship? Like, say, in the Super Bowl, we had the Chiefs versus the Bucks, which was probably the two top teams. Or do you like to see an underdog squeak in there, kind of like when the Patriots took on the Giants? And the Giants kind of won, and we all knew that the Giants clearly were not the best team, but they left as the champions. So do you want to see Gonzaga, who's clearly been the best team, or do you want to see a UCLA Cinderella sneak in there and fight it out for a title? What do you guys like?
I think I love to root for the underdog. So I love to see that underdog get in there, take control, and show, you know, shock the world. But I at the same time, I do enjoy seeing the best two teams compete and brawl and battle it out. So for me, it's really hard to say which one I prefer. I think however it shakes out, you know, if it shakes out where it's the underdog versus Baylor in the championship, well, I'm probably going to be rooting for the underdog. But I wouldn't be mad about that Baylor-Gonzaga matchup, and hopefully they go head-to-head and, you know, give the fans what we're all looking for.
Yeah, I love actually both of those points, because who doesn't want a Cinderella or underdog to win? Because you get if you see a 10 or 11 seed in the national championship, it gives you somebody to root for, especially for like people who aren't putting money or putting their units down or anything like that. If they're not doing anything like that, they need someone to root for. So unless you're a bandwagoner, which no one wants to be, you want to root for the underdog. You want something to root for. But again, with Tone's point, you want to see the best teams go at it. You want to see the best talent. You want to see who actually is the best. And I think college football's somewhat getting an idea of that's what people want to actually see, because they get the four best teams throughout the entire season. And instead of just having like a fluke team go undefeated and not really have the strength against schedule, they get the four best teams. You got to win out. And I don't think anyone's going to argue with me. Alabama was the best team. And I think every single year that a national championship is crowned, that is the best team in the world. But for basketball, it's a completely different story. People can have off nights. Anybody can beat anybody at that level. So
sure,
if you get a couple of, I don't know, more sorry teams, then there's always a question in the back of your mind, are they actually champions? So I'm going to just say it's more entertaining to have the two best teams.
Would you guys like to see college football expand the playoffs so that a little guy could get in there? Or are we pretty good on the top four teams?
So I've been saying this for since it started, and I haven't really heard anyone say this, and I do not know why. I think since it started, it should have been the top six teams, and the top two teams get a bye, just like we do in fantasy football.
Sure.
There's no reason the top two teams can't get a bye, and we allow six teams to get in there, because I feel like that fifth and sixth team always just gets screwed over, and they're teams that we want to see in there. I don't want eight or ten teams necessarily, because now, not saying those underdogs couldn't win, but it just gets a little more ridiculous. But I think six is such a fair amount of teams. And now I have a privilege if I come in, you know, first or second because I get that one bye week.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been preaching since it started. But unfortunately, I haven't really heard much dialect. Everyone automatically goes to eight or 12. And I don't know why. Like, it doesn't need to go that big that fast. It could just go to six, and then maybe we could go to eight. But we'll see how it all shakes out. I think eventually it'll probably change.
It is weird that we have Power 5 conferences, but we only have four teams. So you would think six would be sufficient. You get your top five conferences, and then maybe you get like one non-power, the top non-Power 5 team.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful equation.
Yeah, and then you see teams like TCU and the Baylors back in the day that got the 5 and 6 spot. And I mean, these teams would arguably have won that national title that year because they are that solid. Like, I remember Trevon Boykin having some good years. And then you had Sean Oakley, that bad defense for Baylor, and then the high-powered offense behind Bryce Petty. That would have been fun to see them. I agree 100%. There should be no reason there's not six teams in this playoff because, obviously, if you're a 1 and 2 seed, you're probably undefeated and you're probably in the SEC or Big Ten because you're playing all these stacked teams, and if you win out, you deserve it. You deserve something because you still have to play and win two games to be a national championship, even though you get one bye. If the 5 and 6 team have to play an extra game, then, well, you can't really complain about it because we let you in. You are in. So there are six teams. People should
And it's
going to
be
out.
A little more money for everything. So I don't know why they wouldn't want to do it. But
yeah,
we'll
see. Yeah, people need to cut it out. Four teams, I'm not mad at it because they did extend it. But I feel like you said, 8 to 12 to 16 teams, it's just too much. Six teams. You heard it here. I'm pretty sure we're a roundtable discussion about it because that is, I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
I like the six teams. That sounds good. Yeah, so anyways, again, national title is April 5th. It looks like the boys are locking in Baylor versus Gonzaga as their national title predictions. I'm excited about it. I think it'll be a good national title game. So other than the basketball talk, tomorrow is actually the opening day for MLB. So it's a pretty big day if you're a baseball fan. It's been a big deal for Northeast Ohio for the last couple years. The Cleveland Indians have been extremely competitive year in and year out. And, you know, as the years go by, we've kind of lessened as a team. We were blessed with some MVP candidates, some Cy Young winners. Those players have kind of gone away and they're in different uniforms now. But it's going to be our last year as the Cleveland Indians, unfortunately. Looks like we're going to have a new identity come 2022, per chance. Are you guys big baseball guys? Is the Indians your favorite team? Or
I just started getting into baseball this last season. So, you know, it was a pandemic. We just had our son, so we're at home. I said, you know, there's only going to be 60 games. I'm going to get into this because I think it'll be interesting. Each game's going to mean more. It'll give me time. Like, I got time. I got nothing but time. Going to watch the Indians. And I really started to enjoy it. So I'm kind of excited for this opening day. I know that the Indians have gotten rid of some big names. It sucks get rid of Frankie. But honestly, I still think that this team has a lot of potential. I think they're really undervalued and slept on. So I'm going to definitely try to back them as far as wagering or gambling goes this year.
Okay.
But it's not going to be the same. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, I'm personally a huge baseball guy. I grew up playing the sport. I've been a huge fan into it since about 2000. I actually grew up as a younger child liking the Angels. They had Vlad Guerrero and Sean Figgins. They had Garrett Anderson. They were Jared Weaver in his prime back in the day. That was a fun team to watch. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten to love my hometown Cleveland Indians. Been to so many games. I love the guys. I back them. I hope to see them in the playoffs. But you had some good signings with Rosario, and then you got Jimenez in there to be like a utility guy. And then Shane Bieber, he could win another Cy Young.
Yep.
Easy as that. So I think they're going to be – and I like their other pitcher. Well, they got Plesac and then Savali and then Terrence McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
They call him Sticks. Watch out for Terrence McKenzie this year. I think he's going to be a sleeper.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the future, so I hope he pans out. If the Indians' name gets retired, is there a name that either of you two really love that you would want to see the Cleveland baseball team rock with?
So this is another thing that, to me, like I had been saying for a while, it only makes sense. It's not offensive at all, I don't think. Unfortunately, if I'm wrong, sorry. Why not just go by the tribe? Cleveland, mm-hmm. Cleveland Tribe. It's everyone call. I mean, most people call them the tribe anyways. It's not a big switch. You can drop the Wahoo, but why not the Cleveland Tribe? To me, it just seems simple. It's not anything crazy. It's not out of the realm. It's not a big change. I don't want to become something silly like the Spiders.
Mm-mm.
That seems ridiculous to me. It seems like a children's league team. It's just ridiculous. I'd rather be the Cleveland baseball team, you know, like the Washington mm-hmm. football team. I'd rather be that before we're something silly and ridiculous. But that's just my opinion. I don't care either way. I'm going to rock with them, but I think something simple like the Tribe makes sense.
Yeah, so I agree. I think Cleveland Tribe would be really great. And of course, if it is offensive, I do apologize. We apologize. We're just not super familiar with it. So the Cleveland Indians, and for all they stood for, it's never been anything harmful or rude to anybody, just letting everyone know we're the last kind of dudes that would go out and try to affect anybody. But Cleveland Tribe sounds good. And I also kind of thought the Cleveland Carnegie, just like a solid name. I mean, that's the road they play on, and you hear them say, and we're underway from the corner of Carnegie and Ontario before every first pitch. I don't know, the Cleveland Carnegie, no one would really like know about it. They would have to look it up, and they'd be like, oh, hey, Cleveland. Maybe they'll, I don't know, give us some attractions. So I like Cleveland Tribe, but as a backup plan, definitely not the fucking Spiders.
No.
Right.
But yeah, the Cleveland Carnegie, I just feel like it kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah, I like that. I think Washington did it wrong. Washington football team sounds horrible, but I think Cleveland could get away with it and do the Cleveland baseball club and rock the same colors, blue and red.
I like that.
And then that way you don't have to throw your merchandise out. You can still wear the same t-shirts and hats, and you know, it's not a complete rehaul. I think club sounds way better than team, and that's what a lot of overseas teams do. A lot of teams, soccer teams overseas, don't have team names. They're just the club. So I wouldn't be opposed to a Cleveland baseball club or the Tribe, but unfortunately I know they already said that they weren't going to do the Tribe, so that's kind of out. But pretty much anything but the Spiders.
Right.
I've saw Rockers. I don't really want that.
No.
It sounds childish.
I mean, I get it, like we, you know, Cleveland Rocks type shit, but no, we're good.
No. I don't really like any of those two. So I hope we go in a different direction. But you know, it's our last year as Indians, so I'm gonna enjoy it and see what happens. So basically we've made it clear on our show that we are a football show first and everything else second. For entertainment purposes only, of course. But you know, because football doesn't last 365 days a year, we try to cover other sports for fun, whether it's NASCAR, hockey, soccer, baseball. You know, we're going to do our best to give you our take for your listening pleasure. And I figured let's do a way too early baseball predictions for you guys to cover. And I'm just kind of curious to see what you guys come up with. So we'll start with the Indians since we're on the topic. And the first line I have here that I found on Odd Shark, Cleveland Indians to make the playoffs. To make the playoffs, plus 225, which hurts me to say. And to miss the playoffs, which hurts me even more, is minus 350.
So, unfortunately, as much as I would like to say, hey, they're going to make the playoffs this year, I just think they play in a way too tough division. I know there's those two wild card spots left. Is that considered if they... The wild card is the playoff, right? So
yep.
So that's still a win, just so everyone knows. But I don't even think they get there. I think this is the White Sox year to take that division. And then even in their division, I don't think they would even be the second-best team because you got the Tigers, the Twins, and then the Royals, who you never know can come out of nowhere and have a great season. But I think it goes to White Sox, Twins, Indians, Tigers, Royals.
I agree with you as far as missing the playoffs, unfortunately. I'm not going to predict the standings because I just don't feel comfortable enough to do that. But I do think the White Sox are going to show out this year. They got a good team. There's, you know, a ton of focus on them as far as winning our division goes. And so I think the Indians could sneak into one of those two spots as far as a wild card goes. But I don't want to bank on it. I'm if I had to pick, I would take them to miss the playoffs, unfortunately, minus 350. Hate to see it.
Yeah, you do. The next line I have here is Cleveland Indians wins 81.5 over under.
So basically, they are asking these guys to go 500 because there's 162 games. That's slightly over 500. And I feel like that line is so appropriate right now because I could see them winning anywhere between 78 to 84 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super hard to tell. But unfortunately, I like the under. No, you know what? I'm gonna be optimistic.
Oh, okay.
I'll take the under. I think they get 83 in them. They'll go 83 and 79, and they'll call it a season.
I for sure am taking the over. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're super undervalued. I don't think the public likes them at all since Frankie and other big names have left the squad. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, unfortunately, but I think they're going to be competitive. I think they'll just miss it. So I will take the Cleveland Indians, Cleveland baseball team, Cleveland baseball club, or the Cleveland Tribe to win over 81 and a half games.
All right.
What do you think, AJ?
Optimistically, I love the over. I want to see him in the playoffs. I'm gonna have to watch a couple games before I get too into it. But I don't feel great about the team this year, to be honest with you guys. But I'm gonna be optimistic, and we play the Tigers a lot this year, so I'm just gonna bank on beating the Tigers every game, and that alone should help us get to the playoffs this year. So I'll take the over, and I will. I'll put a couple units on us to make the playoffs. I like plus 225.
Oh, dang.
Why not?
Yeah, I love don't to see that. You remember having playing those Tiger teams with Miggy and when Victor Martinez left, and then you'd have Ian Kinsler on that team, and that was good times, good competitive years. But
Tigers were tough for a while. The thing about the Central Division is every team is rotated. I mean, it was the Indians for a while. The Tigers were tough. It's the White Sox time now. The Twins for the last couple of years have been really good. The Royals won the World Series not too long ago. So I feel like it's a nice rotation, a nice balance in our division. So I got to believe that eventually it'll come back around to the Indians. But I'm just not sure if it's our time anymore. I think the window's closed, sadly. But optimistically, I'm going to continue riding it out. And I like the odds, so why not?
Yeah, Francona doesn't have much left, but hey, you got to think about that pitching. Pitching is, we've hung our hat on that, which kind of leads us to, you have another prop bet, right?
Yeah, so the next prop bet we have in line here is the American League Cy Young Award, and this is an award that Indians fans are pretty familiar with. It goes to the best pitcher in the American League, and like football, I'm going to give you guys the top three. And you guys can pick one of the three, or if you guys have a sleeper outside of the three, by all means, all picks are welcome. Number one, we have Yankees' Gerrit Cole at plus 350. Number two, we have our Indian Shane Bieber at plus 400. And rounding out the top three, we have the White Sox Lucas Giolito at plus 450.
I think if I had to pick out these guys, I'm going to go with the White Sox because, again, I think they're going to be a tough squad this year. So I'm going to go with Lucas plus 450. I think the odds are pretty favorable. I'm not sure if he'll win it, but I think he's definitely going to compete.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call. It's also easy to take Shane Bieber at this time because I feel like he is the best pitcher in the MLB. And I don't know if too many people are going to disagree with that. But then again, you got Gerrit Cole on there who is an absolute stud. He will strike out 250 guys this year. I know that's a bit much, but still. He's one of the GOATs. And then Indians also have a pretty good set behind them. Like I just mentioned, Plesac and then McKenzie and Savali. But I am going to, in turn, end up taking Gerrit Cole. I know he's the favorite, but I think this could really be the Yankees' year this year. I think it's going to be the Yankees and Dodgers in a high-market World Series. So that's a little kind of thing I've been thinking. So I think Gerrit Cole goes absolutely off this year, and I'm going to take him at the plus 350.
National League Cy Young Award. Same deal. Best pitcher in the National League. I'll give you guys the top three. Number one, we have the Mets, Jacob DeGrom, at plus 300. The former Indians, now Dodgers, Trevor Bauer, number two at plus 650. And rounding out the top three, we have the Nationals' Max Scherzer at plus 800.
Okay, so all absolute studs. I was curious about what Blake Snell's odds were. I know he might be a little down the list. He just got traded to the Padres after being with the Rays for a while.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
No Blake Snell. So whatever Blake Snell is, I'm going to pull my balls out on that. Okay. And I say he gets the Cy Young. But then again, if Jacob DeGrom stays healthy throughout the year, Max Scherzer, he's getting up in age, but still he hasn't lost his savage. He is an absolute dog. And then Trevor Bauer, they call him Bauer outage for a reason. But dude's a nutcase. Absolute crazy psychopath guy. So you never know what could happen with him. But if you can find Blake Snell at anywhere on the odds, please remember what I said. Blake Snell is going to win the National League Cy Young.
I'm going to go with Jacob DeGrom. I mean, I know he's a favorite. I hate doing that. But like you said, if he could stay healthy, I think the Mets are going to be a tough squad. They'll have plenty of wins. I think him personally will have what it takes to, you know, have that support and get plenty of wins. So I'm going to go ahead and take Jacob DeGrom.
Now that we run out the Cy Youngs, that's going to take us to the MVPs real quick. We have American League MVPs. Number one is Angels' Mike Trout at plus 250. Number two is Astros' Alex Bregman at plus 1,300, so quite a drop from one to two. Number three is actually the Indians' Jose Ramirez at plus 1,400.
I have to go with the Indians' Jose Ramirez. I think that he's going to stand out offensively as far as what this lineup has to offer as a team. And I think he's going to be able to showcase his talents, and hopefully we're going to get appropriate amount of wins. We might not make the playoffs, we might not lead the division, but enough wins for him to have an MVP-type candidacy. So I'm going to go ahead and take Jose Ramirez. I love those plus 1,400 odds.
Nice.
Yeah, I really don't hate the pick at all. I think plus 1,400, that's so much value in him because I think he has something to prove this year, especially without his infield mate, Frankie Lindor, this year. I think Jose has a great year, but I'm going to have you maybe scroll down again because I don't know if you have him or not, but I think a guy named Randy Arozarena from the Tampa Bay Rays, he is a five-tool player. He reminds me so much of Mike Trout. He's young. He's a stud. He is a top prospect. Randy Arozarena. It starts with an A. I'm not sure if he's even on there. I'm just giving you guys names.
I'm not seeing him, but
so I'm reaching. But I think if it's not Jose, it's going to be Arozarena, because I think this Tampa Bay team is going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Well, those are two picks to definitely watch for. I'm sure the odds are lovely on those two picks. So something to lock in on your action app after the show. That'll take us to the National League MVP. We have the Dodgers' Mookie Betts in the top spot at plus 650. The Nationals' Juan Soto tied at plus 650. The Padres' Fernando Tatis Jr. at plus 800. And then for those with the curious mind, seventh is Francisco Lindor at plus 1300.
Okay, so there is a guy on this list that is the best player in Major League Baseball today. And he's not even the favorite. Out of everybody, even Mike Trout right now, Fernando Tatis Jr., he's plus 800. This man is the best player in the MLB today. I am telling you right now, the stats are going to show it. Everything he's done so far to this date has shown it. He is the best player, and there's no reason he should be plus 800. Fernando Tatis Jr., I am all over him all day. I'll put $1 million on it. He is the best player. I don't have $1 million. Entertainment purposes only. Sorry. But he is the best player in the major leagues. Better than any pitcher, better than anybody. He's the best.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's who I was going to take. So I will also take him. He's very solid. He should definitely stand out as far as that team goes. So.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty easy one. I like him at the plus 800. I'd also lock that in myself. So another one here I have, it's the Way Too Early World Series Championship Predictor. I'll give you guys the top five and see where you guys land. At the top spot, we have a Los Angeles Dodgers repeat. That's plus 300. New York Yankees are plus 550. San Diego Padres and Fernando Tatis Jr. at plus 800. Chicago White Sox at plus 1,000. The Atlanta Braves tied for plus 1,000. And for those keeping score, Indians are 13th in odds. They are at plus 5,000.
That'd be lovely for to see them. But
I would love that, yeah.
I just want to say, I did not scroll down in these docs when I had mentioned earlier, I feel like it's going to be a Dodgers versus Yankees World Series, and there they are both in the top. So they're predicting the Dodgers get like 118 wins this year, which blows my mind. And they have so much talent throughout the roster, signing all these pitchers. It's hard to say they won't win it, but I think the New York Yankees beat the Dodgers in 7 games in the World Series.
Okay, you really love to see that. I'm going to go a little off the grid here. I think this team is going to piss a lot of people off. They're going to get heckled, but they have recuperated from injuries, and they're tough. I'm going to go with the Houston Astros, plus 2,200.
Oof.
So I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them. We'll have to record this when I win or I lose.
Honestly, also, I kind of I like the Padres this year because they did get Blake Snell. They have Manny Machado on that team, Tommy Pham. And, I mean, they're out there spending money.
I don't mind the Cardinals or Blue Jays, so fuck it.
Or the Mets.
I'm not that smart.
Nice guy. And did you see what I don't know if you guys seen this or not, our former guy Frankie, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso on the Mets, their first baseman, had mentioned that he wished that they would pay Frankie Lindor $400 million to stay with that organization because that's how well-liked this man is.
Yeah. Frankie's about to make bank.
And he broke our heart. But then again, we're used to it. LeBron did the same thing. We're fine.
Yeah, we're okay. We're used to it. I think it was more Indians than Frankie. So,
always is.
Yeah, he's about to get paid. And I don't know if it's going to be the Mets that do it or the next team he goes to. But he's going to get paid. So,
and the Indians don't play pay their players.
No.
So.
Nope. The Dolans don't like to give people money.
The lowest paid market in the league.
Yeah. So we're fine. We're okay. Northeast Ohio's hanging in there. We're used to it. So no worries. Okay. So we got Nate taking the Yankees. Tone is, I guess, taking the Astros. Hate to see it. Oof. But that's okay. That's what we're here for. So my last thing here, tomorrow is opening day, and I'm going to give you guys the Indians line. And you guys can choose what you like on that one. We have the Cleveland Indians. They are minus 1.5 runs. They are going to Detroit to take on the Tigers. The over-under is 7.5 runs. Shane Bieber is taking the mound. What do you guys like on this game?
I'm going with the under. So I'm going to take under 7.5. That's easy for me. I'm not going to think twice about it.
Yeah. It's always easy to take the under when you got Shane Bieber on the mound. Dude's an absolute stud. But what you're going to notice if you're starting to get into the betting of baseball, every single line is going to be 1.5. It's all about how the odds underneath of that line change. And that's how you kind of decide who's really, like, if they're really that much of a favorite, you'll see them like a minus like 280 at 1.5 because you're going to see, oh, this team's going to stomp. So never. I usually, when I'm on baseball, I do the money line, just the team to win outright, because the odds aren't going to change all that much unless you see a team that's super favorited. But if you see, I mean, like this matchup, I can't imagine it being any more than like a minus 140 for the Indians to win this game, maybe minus 150, and then probably that minus 1.5 is around, what, plus 180, or am I way off base?
Indians are minus 185. Detroit's plus 165.
What's that 1.5 line at?
Minus 115.
Oh, damn.
Detroit is plus 100, even.
Oh, wow. Ah, I was way off. They really think they're going to stink this year, the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to lay that line. I'm going to take the Indians minus 1.5 tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, when it comes to baseball, do you guys like taking over under, or do you like taking the spread, or do you guys like just going straight up money lines?
You heard what I said.
I'm straight money lines on baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much value in taking the minus 1.5 plus, unless it's you're taking the underdog plus 1.5. So I do think there could be value in that because, you know, there it's just a lot more appropriate as far as the numbers play out. So I would take the plus 1.5 as an underdog, but I just think it makes more sense as far as your return goes. You can't always bet the favorite. Sometimes you can't always bet the underdog as well, though.
Sure.
So Baseball's its own beast, though. I think it's more of an art than a science. I think you have to pay attention on the day-to-day, understand what the pitchers are doing, understand what the bullpen is doing, the defense, the offense. There's a lot that goes into it. It's kind of like the NBA, where if you watch it on the day-to-day, you start to kind of understand how it may play out.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it was good to talk baseball. I'm looking forward to it. There's some things that we can do with it. I know we talked before recording, possibly DraftKings, maybe some fantasy baseball. We'll see. We'll kind of dabble and see what we're liking out there. But that's going to pretty much conclude our Too Early to Tell MLB talk.
Yeah, and that does it for baseball and our March Madness talk. Thank you, AJ, for controlling us wild bastards. We appreciate it, but we have to let you know, we are having maybe our biggest episode to date, maybe since the Duran interview. No offense to anybody. But we are going to 1899 Indoor Golf next Wednesday, April 7th at 4:30 p.m. It's 1899 Indoor Golf. It is at 4700 Everhard Road, Northwest. That's North Canton, Ohio. If you're available and you're a fan of our show, or even if you're a fan of golf, please come out. Come on out. Show your support. You got top shelf drinks, the best bourbon you could think of. And hey, why not, while you're there, grab some dinner? You can call and rent out a bay on your own. Make sure you call the Canton location, 4700. We will be interviewing the owners, John Michael Spielman and Brian Lindenbaum. We will be discussing everything that is 1899 golf, and we're going to get into Masters Week. We're going to all have DraftKings. It's going to be a really good time. And then we will be golfing in our own bay after the interview. So if you don't get off work quite that early, around 4:30, we are golfing at 6 p.m. So please come hang out, talk to us. If you got any questions, let us know. We'd love to talk to you guys. Even if you're from out of town, we got our Boston listeners. Come on out. We will love to see you. But if you can't make our live show, we will be uploading that podcast on anywhere you can listen to our podcast. That's Luck Changers Podcast. That's Spotify, Apple, iHeart, even on a cassette player at this point. So always make sure you listen. We are also on all your social medias. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're everywhere, and all those are at Luck Changers Podcast. And we also have an email address where you can direct message us any questions you have about a certain game that night, or maybe a future bet. We will get back to you. We are always open to it. And that is at luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. So make sure you email us. And another big announcement, merch is coming soon, everybody. Soon. So make sure you guys get your credit. Yes. Get your credit cards ready. Get your cash ready. Get your anything ready. Get your stimulus check ready, because we are coming out with merch soon, gentlemen. So with all that being said, I'm going to ask Tone, you got anything for the people?
No, I think we just appreciate the listeners as always. We appreciate the support. We appreciate you tuning in, whether you fade or follow us. Either way, we are down for the ride. So if you want to keep checking us out, we're ready to keep rocking and rolling.
Shout out to the listeners.
Listeners, always, for sure.
AJ, we've gotten mad love from your side here, so just quick shout out to them.
Shout out to all my peoples. I got a few people that are going to be rolling up next Wednesday to watch us live, so I'm pretty excited. Shout out to anyone who's going to be coming out and watching us live. I know it's during the work day. So, you know, if you can find some time to do it, we will definitely appreciate your support, as always.
Yeah, we'll definitely make sure to go out of our way to communicate, talk to you. We might even have 330 to go. If you guys haven't followed them or seen them on Facebook, they are the fastest growing Akron, Northeast Ohio news outlet on Facebook. They're almost at 40,000 likes, excuse me. And we might see them there. So even if you want to see those guys, if you want to see us, we would love to talk to you. We love you, listeners. Thank you so much. Even if you're hanging on this long, if we see you next Wednesday, we're going to, if it wasn't COVID season, we'd kiss you on the mouth.
Still might.
But with all that being said, as far as your host, Boogs, your co-host, Fowler Tone, and your moderator, AJ, we are out.
Peace.
Adios.
I'm out of here.